Christ upon the mountain shows, where brighter than the sun he glows.
And you are listening to O Wondrous Type, O Vision Fair, because today is Ruminations Tuesday, February the 10th, and we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. How you doing this last week of Epiphany? And as we approach, well, it's almost there. We approach the Lenten season.
Yes. You would say the Transfiguration is the end of Epiphany, not the beginning of Lent.
Right.
Because the beginning of Lent is what, Wednesday?
Ash Wednesday.
Exactly.
Yes.
So
it's about a week away, maybe 8 days, maybe.
Right, right. So I'll be participating in that Ash Wednesday service at Emmanuel Olivet. What time's your service for Ash Wednesday?
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock.
Okay. Without further ado, let's take a look. Yesterday, I didn't talk about Transfiguration because I said you were coming in and we were going to take a look at a Transfiguration hymn. I talked about the veil of Moses that kept diminishing. So, would you read stanza one?
Okay. O wondrous type, O vision fair, of glory that the church may share, with which Christ upon the mountain shows, where brighter than the sun he glows.
They don't even have somebody who wrote this. It actually appeared in a breviary. Which would be a hymnal.
An breviary, right?
Saxony, mm-hmm. Yes. And so I'm talking to my kids about this. That's the point. You want to look at the hymns ahead of time.
It's a beautiful hymn.
And it says, O wondrous type. And, of course, they're thinking of a typewriter. How would you explain?
Well, yeah. Type is sometimes confusing for people. I would say it's a foreshadowing. Christ is here. This is one of those rare times when Christ himself in his transfiguration is a type. It's a foreshadowing of our own, you could say, transfiguration, when we're raised in glory. It's a foreshadowing.
And it's a glimpse of his.
A glimpse of his, right.
Even though no launderer could whiten clothes as white as they were, the fact of the matter is that he's going to be far more brilliant in heaven. Remember, there's no need for the sun.
Right. Because the Lamb
is
the light.
Yeah, I had somebody phone me once and say, you know, Jesus came into my bedroom last night and talked to me. And I said, no, he didn't. She said, why? Because you would be toast, I said. People just don't realize that.
Well, yeah, you know, people say, I saw Jesus. But, you know, if you see Jesus, you're going to see the glorified Jesus like John saw.
That's right.
On the Isle of Patmos. That's the type of Jesus you're going to see if you see him in glory.
And, in fact, in that chapter 1, he describes him exactly as the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7, who is God the Father.
Right.
And so when Jesus says, I and the Father are one, well, that really is helpful.
That's right.
To understand.
They're one in essence.
In fact, the best way to understand the Father and the Holy Spirit is by looking at Jesus. He's the one that really makes all the difference. So, O wondrous type. There's another verse that word type is used in the Bible in 1 Peter about baptism.
Yeah, but let's see. Is that the one that talks about baptism is the circumcision made without hands?
Right. And it's a type, it says. And that means what? What happens in baptism?
Baptism, we are made God's child. We're made his heir by that washing of regeneration, particularly
yes.
when we're just infants, that the saving faith is kindled in our hearts through baptism, through the washing of water and the word.
Give a little background as to where the transfiguration took place and who was there.
Well, we aren't even absolutely sure of what mountain. I've always heard Mount Hermon is about the best guess. It was a high mountain, and there were just three disciples that were taken with him: Peter, James, and John. They
yes.
were the only ones that witnessed the transfiguration. And when they got to the top of that mountain, Jesus was transfigured. He was made brighter than the sun. His clothes brighter than any any launderer could make them. And suddenly they saw with him Moses.
Right.
And Elijah.
Yes.
Those two prophets of old. Interesting. The interesting thing about Moses, Moses was one that God himself buried.
Yes.
You know, and Elijah was another one who was taken to heaven in a fiery chariot, in a whirlwind. He was taken to heaven without dying. So it's kind of interesting about those two.
Yeah, some people think that Moses was also taken from the grave and bodily is in heaven.
Yeah, right.
But that's not necessarily true.
No. But anyway, and of course, with this glory,
yes,
came the voice, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." And Peter was so overwhelmed with the glory.
Yes.
You know, you get the feeling that these disciples are just, you know, with just God just lifting just giving him just a glimpse of his glory. And Peter is just overwhelmed. He says, "Lord, it is good to be here." I mean, it was just a euphoria that they felt.
But what does he want to do then?
He says, "Let me make three
tabernacles
or booths. Let me make shelters. And we could just stay up here in the mountain indefinitely." He wanted to stay up there. He's one for you, one for Moses, and for Elijah.
Yes. And the text is pretty clear. He really didn't know what he was saying.
No.
Yeah, because he was so astonished. So how many persons were up there all together?
You'd say? Three and three, six.
Seven.
Oh, of course. You mean God the Father?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right, of course.
And you said it correctly. He said something more than he said at the baptism. "This is my beloved son in whom I well please." He added,
"Listen to him."
Yes. Now, how do we listen to Jesus today?
Through his word.
Yeah.
And sacrament, because the sacrament, of course, is accompanied with his word.
Yeah, we talked quite a bit about that this weekend when I was in Rolla, that the church isn't where Christians are gathered. The church isn't even where preaching is being done. The church is where the Word of God is taught in its purity and the sacraments administered rightly.
Right.
So you could go to a Mormon worship service. They have preaching. They think they're Christians, but they're not. So the church isn't really there.
No.
Not with their understanding of who Jesus really was and how they get saved by their works. That's a real problem. So, the first line, you explained it well. "O wondrous type, O visioned fair, of glory that the church may share." So that's the type.
Yeah, yeah. The church itself, of course, when we're raised glorified on the last day.
What does that mean? Does it mean that there's a glory coming from us? A brightness, a shining?
Well, you know, you're asking me to explain that glory. I don't know if I even begin to explain what that glory, we're told, will be raised with glorified bodies. What does that mean? I don't know. They'll be perfect in every way.
I actually believe there's going to be a brightness about us. Because you
I'm inclined to think that, too.
Because Jesus is before us. If Moses' face shone with reflected glory, imagine Jesus in his glorious state.
Yeah. In fact, we talk about the beatific vision,
yes,
that we will behold.
It reminds me also when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they said they saw they were naked. Didn't they know that ahead of time?
Yeah, I know you. I know you've explained that. Maybe you should explain that better than I. Do you think there was a veil that was covering them? Or?
There was a glory.
Uh-huh, a glory.
It's even mentioned in Ezekiel. And that not only faded away, it disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So now they saw they were naked, and of course they went and put on fig leaves, or whatever those leaves were that lasts about 2 hours, and went and tried to hide in the bushes where God was. Just so ironic.
I think most of us would have done the same thing, of course, if we all of a sudden we discover we're naked.
I think they realized they had sinned against God. Now they knew good and evil, and they were part of evil. And so they tried to blame each other, but they were really blaming God. That was the point I made. The other thing I want to bring out there is a person once phoned and asked, okay, if we're going to heaven with different degrees of glory, what's the explanation of that?
I don't know.
And I said, I have no problem answering that if you answer my question. And she said, okay, what's your question? What's the difference between a cherubim and a seraphim? And she says, I don't know.
Between seraphim and cherubim, that's plural, Tom.
No, I'm talking about singular ones.
Okay, all right. Yeah. A cherub.
Because it was only a seraphim that went to the altar to take the coal off to bring it to Isaiah's mouth.
That was a seraph.
Oh, boy. That sounds like some Near Eastern wise man. You may be right. I just don't know the Aramaic that well.
Uh-huh. Okay, Tom.
All right. Stanza two, please.
You want me to read it?
Yes.
Okay. With Moses and Elijah nigh, the incarnate Lord holds converse high, and from the cloud, the Holy One bears record to the only Son.
So, what's the conversation they were having?
They were talking about Jesus and what he was about to accomplish.
Yes.
Down in Jerusalem on Calvary. You know, his of course the thing that he came for, his cross.
Yes.
That's what they were conversing about. Well, you know, this is the event of all history. This is the centerpiece of all history, was his cross,
right,
and his resurrection. And that's what they were talking about. You know, this is the event you have come to do, Jesus.
And you know what the word is in the original language, what they're talking about, they use it, they're talking about his exodus.
Yes, his exodus, right? I remember that, yes.
So what does that mean?
Well, it ties it in with the climactic event of the Old Testament when Israel was saved from bondage in Egypt. By bringing him out of Egypt.
Through the wilderness to the promised land.
Yeah, through the...
And Jesus had already had his wilderness experience by then, the temptations.
Right.
And he's the one who leads us into the promised land.
That's right.
And...
So it ties his wondrous work on the cross, that redemptive act on the cross, it ties it back to God's saving work through the Exodus.
And that was through the waters of the Red Sea. In 1 Peter, it talks about baptism. It says it's an antitype.
Right.
Which means it's a similar way.
That's right.
And it's very clear there that that's how we're saved, through the promises connected to the waters of baptism, which a person can receive through faith, apart from being baptized. In other words, if I went to a hospital and a man is dying, this is his last night there, and I'm praying with my member, and he hears that, and he asks, would you have a prayer for me? And I do, and I tell him about Jesus, and he comes to faith.
That's right.
But then he dies,
yeah,
apart from baptism.
He is saved.
Just like Abraham was.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So baptism, while it's important, while it is necessary, it's not absolutely necessary.
No.
Like the thief on the cross.
In fact, I called one of my good friends, seminary professor, and asked him about the question. Because somebody had asked about a baby who died without baptism.
Uh-huh.
And they were of Christian parents. And we got in a very good conversation. But I asked him two questions. I said, how are the male children saved in the Old Testament books? And it was...
By circumcision.
Circumcision. Then I asked, how are the females saved? And there is no answer. And I dare say that the males were saved even before circumcision. Circumcision wasn't a... It was a ceremonial act,
right,
to indicate that you were part of the people of God. In fact, circumcision is what a lot of evangelicals practice. They don't get baptized until they can confess that they're Christians. They don't see it as a way of becoming Christian, and therefore they don't baptize infants.
Which is too bad. It's
it's terrible.
Because you know, baptism's pure gospel.
But the point I was making is, so God saved those little females as children, so he has other ways of saving besides Pentecost baptism. In fact, even in the New Testament, somebody was saved and came to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit apart from baptism while he was still in the womb.
John the Baptist.
Very good. Yeah, that he jumped in the womb for joy.
Right. So that's faith right there.
And Elizabeth explains how that happened because he was filled with the
Holy Spirit.
Yes, very important. So, yeah, I can't imagine Jesus, Moses, and Elijah talking about his coming exodus, and Peter says, no, 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 let's build some tabernacles and stay. They're not even listening.
Well, I mean, if I were in the presence of the transfigured Christ, you know, I might say something pretty stupid myself. I'd be so overwhelmed by the glory.
But it depends. In the sermon I did at the IC last week, I talked about it on Wednesday. I began by saying, did any of you ever see, have you ever seen the heavenly manna or the water, miraculous water from the rock? If you have, put your hand up, and nobody put their hand up. And that's the answer I wanted, because it was wrong. And what did I go to? I said, yes, there is a miraculous water. It's called the waters of baptism. And it comes from the rock.
Right.
The rock
Christ.
Was Jesus.
Rock was Christ, yes.
Yeah, he even says, baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I said, also, there's a kind of a heavenly bread and also a wine, but I'm not talking about the wedding of Cana. I'm talking about
the Lord's Supper.
Exactly. And then I made this kind of analogy, if I can remember it correctly. I said, did you see the Super Bowl and the interception? When
yes.
they were on the half-yard line.
Yes.
What really got me wasn't that particular play, but the reaction of the announcers.
Oh, I know. That right away they said, what a call.
Yeah.
What, they were all remarking about, why did he make that call? I can't believe this call.
Yeah, but they also had plaudits for what had happened. One could think it was a miracle. Then I made this point. The last time I gave communion at the rail, nobody came with shock and awe on their face. But what's really happening there is far greater than the manna in the wilderness, which only healed physically, and the water from the rock in the wilderness, which only healed physically. This body and blood of Christ heals spiritually.
That's right.
And I got an email.
Uh-huh.
A fellow from California, he says, I was just surfing the radio, and I came across, this is the first time I ever listened to you. He says, I will never go to the Lord's Supper again without thinking about those announcers.
Huh. About the announcers in the football game?
Yeah, because of shock and awe.
Oh,
and all
I
it was an interception. When you go up, that bread is the body, that wine is the blood. And see, that's what we have to do in every sermon, is to make the Lord's Supper really helpful.
That's right. That's right.
Stanza three.
And faithful hearts are raised on high by this great vision's mystery, for which in joyful strains we raise the voice of prayer, the hymn of praise.
Mystery. Do you know?
It is a mystery. The transfiguration is a mystery. You know what I mean?
Do you know how, by the way, that's a Greek word, mysterion.
Uh-huh, right.
You remember how Jerome translated into the Vulgate?
Sacrament.
Very good. Yeah. Yes, sacramentum. Mm-hmm. So when you hear the word sacrament, that's a direct.
It's a mystery.
And what is a sacrament? A sacrament is a means by which God appears to us or comes to us in a miraculous way.
That's right.
And I'm not going to say the Transfiguration was a sacrament, but to them it was. In the same way that Moses came to the burning bush and had to take off his shoes.
That's right.
You know, because he was on holy ground. So, I think that's an important point to make, the mystery. For which in joyful strains we raise the, who joy in God with, I'm sorry, I went to the next one. What glory shall be theirs above, who joy in God with perfect love. And, the problem is, do we have perfect love?
We do in Christ.
That's correct. The old man, the new man,
right,
has perfect love.
Right.
The old man never. So, stanza four.
And faithful hearts are raised on high by this great vision's mystery, for which in joyful strains we raise the voice of prayer, the hymn of praise.
Yes. Didn't you read that already?
Yes. Yeah. You mean number five, okay?
Yes.
You want me to read number five?
Yes, please.
Okay. Oh, Father, now this, of course, is Trinitarian. This is a doxological verse. Oh, Father, with eternal Son and Holy Spirit ever one, we pray thee, bring us by thy grace to see thy glory face to face.
If we don't come by his grace, what do we come by?
If we don't come by his grace...
What's the opposite of grace? Remember, grace is getting something you don't deserve.
Right. Oh, we come by our own merit, which we never will.
Exactly.
We'll never make it that way.
Which every religion is.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they couldn't put merit in is it doesn't rhyme with
doesn't
face.
Doesn't rhyme with... No. Grace is the truth, too.
Well, what they'd have to say, we pray thee bring us by thy grace... Or by thy merit, to us thy glory we don't inherit. We merit it. It's just so sad that every religion in the world outside of Christianity, and even some Christian denominations, tend to go towards this idea of...
That you have to merit it.
That you have to contribute something.
Yeah, faith and works, of course.
You know why they say that? They're trying to answer the unanswerable, which is what?
Why some people are saved and not others.
That's right. And there is no answer.
No.
No, not at all. So, are you going to be using this Sunday?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Yes. It's a beautiful hymn.
Yeah.
And, of course, we are stressing the transfiguration.
Yes. And Emmanuel Rolla, the early service, they had the choir and a trumpet. It was one of the best trumpets I've ever heard. And it was a college student, graduate college student from the college. But boy, did it make a difference. My favorite instruments in worship are the trumpet and the violin.
And of course, this Sunday is the last Sunday that we'll be using the Alleluia for a while.
That's right. Yes.
No Alleluia, no Gloria in Excelsis.
For 6 weeks.
For during the season.
But who hasn't made a mistake and put a hymn in? There's an Alleluia.
There's an Alleluia in there. Oh, boy. Or forgotten and sang the Gloria in Excelsis.
Now, see, I don't understand why we don't sing Alleluias on Sundays.
Well, you're right, because Sunday is always a little Easter.
Yeah, it's not part of Lent.
No, you're right. The
40 days of Lent exclude Sundays, and I've never had an answer from anybody. Why?
Well, it's also, you know, we don't put flowers on the altar during Lent.
Oh, you don't?
No. That's just a custom that our congregation has always observed.
Interesting.
And yet, really, it's like you say, Sunday is... I always think of Sundays as kind of an island of Easter on a Lenten sea.
Yes. Well, I'm on my way to Emmanuel Olivet, 11 o'clock. We're going to be talking about how to witness to people who have been alienated, such as divorce, and we're going to give some other examples. It's 11 o'clock, 9733 Olive Boulevard, Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet. And if you're able to get over there by 11 o'clock, you certainly are welcome. We have some folks coming who aren't members of Emmanuel. And then I'll be talking more tomorrow about the seminar on the 21st. You want to tune in. I might have some interesting news for you. But when's your Bible study? You do a Bible study.
Yeah, we do a Lifelight Bible study on Thursdays from 10:30 to noon. We're talking about the triune God.
That's right.
And then, of course, Sunday service, 9 a.m., followed by adult Bible class and Sunday school. And we have a Saturday service at 5 p.m. at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood.
All right. Well, have a glorious transfiguration. Let's listen to a little bit more of the hymn.
With Moses and Elijah, I, the incarnate Lord,
can you hear that?
His great visions, mystery, the real.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.